Hello, Illinois fans. Doug Bouchon, publisher of orangeandbluenews.com on the Rivals Network. And this is the Orange and Blue News podcast. And we're here to talk about basketball recruiting. The signing day period or the signing period really snuck up on us. Tomorrow, Wednesday, November 8th, is the first day of the early signing period, and it runs through November 15th. And Illinois is set to sign another top 20 class. Rivals ranks at number 17 going into signing day. And then there's three members of the class ready to sign. California guard Jace Butler, kind of a combo guard. And then two in-state kids, Morez Johnson, a top 30 kid, obviously, the top player in the class that they're going to sign. And in-state big man Jason Jackson, is more of a developmental big from Yorkville. And who better to talk about in-state prospects than Scott Burgess from Prep Hoops, really the authority on Illinois high school basketball. And thanks for coming in, Scott. And let's jump right in on Morez. I mean, when he committed, it's been almost 2 years, and when he committed, he was really one of several high-level prospects with a lot of potential at St. Rita. Since then, he's really blown up and really jumped up the national rankings, matured physically, and you expect him to come in as a freshman and make some noise next year. What is Illinois getting in Morez? What did you see from him this summer? And what do you think he's going to do as far as making an impact as a freshman?
It seems like he's been committed forever. It's one of the longest commitments I can remember in recent years. It's the trend is not like it used to be, where you commit as freshmen and sophomores and then stay loyal to that commitment for that long. But I just remember with Merez early in the process, he was like, he just wanted to like do his deal and get it over with. And he took, I think, four visits. Maybe it was like Notre Dame, Oklahoma, a couple others, and he visited Illinois, and he's like, "Yeah, I want to do this." And he called me, and I'm like, "Okay, we're gonna do this, I guess." So it was a little bit of a surprise when he told me back sophomore before his sophomore year. But he's really blossomed since then. At that time, he was probably considered the number two player in that state behind James Brown, his high school teammate, but he has. I mean, he surpassed him in the national rankings. He surpassed him before James moved out of state in our in-state rankings. I think the thing that I love most about Merez is he just cares about basketball. He doesn't care about all the social media. He doesn't care about all the fanfare. He loves, just for the record, he loves the Illinois fans, but like he doesn't care about all the other stuff. He just cares about basketball. I even asked him about his signing day. I texted all the 20 kids that are signing in Illinois, and I texted him on what last Thursday, and I said, "Hey, bud, what time are you signing?" He's like, "I don't know. I'll probably figure it out sometime later." I was like, "You're not gonna have a ceremony?" He's like, "I don't think so." Like, which is very rare. Again, he's a different dude, and it's actually very refreshing. As far as a player, he's just, a tenacious, athletic 4-5 that really will fit well in the Big Ten as that high motor big that he can switch on the perimeter. He's a good shot blocker. His rebounding, I think, is what's going to translate the best from day one. He's an elite level rebounder, one of the better ones we've had in the state probably in the last 4 or 5 years. So I think that's where you're going to see from him from day one. And then as his career progresses, the offense is really going to come along. He's starting to show he has more potential as an offensive player, more than just, finishing out of the dunker spot or rim runs. He's got a little bit of a face-up game that's definitely maturing, hitting that 15 to 18 foot jumper that can potentially extend out to three. Good in the pick and roll game, the post moves. He's got a couple of really good go-to ones that he likes, and I think, working with, Jeff Alexander, the big man coach at Illinois, I think he'll be able to, extend and continue to get some more of those moves down. But from day one, I think you're going to get a guy that's going to come in and want to work hard. He's going to defend. He's going to rebound. I think those are the two things that from day one. And he's just going to play insanely hard. And that's what he's always been, is a guy that had the physical tools but has worked to maximize his potential. A lot of times we see Doug, we see prospects early in the process that you're like, oh, that guy has a frame, he potentially could be something, but then they don't live up to the hype. The thing with Merez is his determination, I think, is what is going to make him not only a great Big Ten player, but I think honestly down the road, he will be an NBA guy.
I don't know how familiar you are with the Illinois roster, but they lose Coleman Hawkins, big man, Quincy Guerrier, who's transferred from Oregon as a fifth year guy that they lose. How do you think Merez fits in with Dane Danger? Danger will be a junior. He's basically a post player, a similar game, but Merez can probably stretch the court a little bit more. But do you think those two guys can play together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Dane's more of a a back to the basket physical guy, and Merez definitely has some of that, but I think Merez can definitely play the four in some roles. That four spot's really kind of a different position than it used to be, where some lineups in college basketball and even in the NBA now, you see a team like, let's say, Boston in the NBA, where they'll play Porzingis and Horford together, where, but at the same time, they can play Jason Tatum at the four, and Jason Tatum's really a three. So I think they'll have versatility to play different lineups where you can play one of them at the same time, you can play both of them at the same time. But I do think that, it's a good fit short term, and I think long term as well.
A blue-collar type of player that would seem to fit well with the personality of the head coach at Illinois, Brad Underwood. He's a throwback type of coach and a blue-collar coach. Was that part of the appeal, you think, for Merez?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Coach Underwood, he is, definitely a tough coach, and he's one of those high energy, high intensity guys. And, you have to find guys that fit that style, and Merez definitely does. And I think that's one thing that definitely drew him to Illinois, was, how Coach Underwood coaches, how he's used his bigs in the past. And then the relationship with Tim Anderson was huge, the Mean Streets connection. But I think he's going to be a very good fit in what Coach Underwood has done.
Jason Jaksis now is a different player. Obviously, he's more of a developmental big man. And Illinois really did a lot of homework on him. They did their due diligence. They watched him, in the spring and in the summer. And I think where they really decided they were going to offer him is when they watched him with the Scholastic events in June, especially the Riverside and Brookfield shootout, where he had a really good event and showed, a good face-up game and a jumper. No other high major offers. He did have some other high major schools looking at him at the time, but Illinois jumped in with the offer. Do you think this is a good take for Illinois? How do you see him developing over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's a great take, to be honest. Jeff Alexander actually saw him for the first time at one of our prep hoop circuit events going into Jason's junior year. So a complete year ago, not from this past summer. It was the first time he went up against Tre'Davious Green, who's going to LSU as both a football and a basketball player. And Tre'Davious is more like a physical, just mauler inside. And, anybody who's seen Jason knows he's got to put on some weight. But he showed a lot. He's a skilled pick and pop four, five, probably more of a five, at the next level, that can stretch the floor with his shooting. I think that's going to be his biggest strength. He really runs the floor well, and he's an excellent shot blocker. I think that's probably the one thing that he doesn't maybe get enough credit for. He's a good passer as well. He can score on the block. Definitely needs to add some strength to be able to play in the Big Ten. But as far as, project guys, I think it's a great take. I don't think there's any doubt that he could potentially be redshirted as a freshman, but as far as a long-term guy, I think it's a great get, because for a couple reasons. One, when everybody right now is going for transfer, 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 if you can get a guy like this in your program and you can develop him, he's that guy that might have gone to a mid-major and killed it as a sophomore, and every high major would have wanted him. When you could just get him right now, you can get him with Fletch, you can get him with the coaching staff and get acclimated to the system and see what Big Ten basketball is like in a practice setting, and you know, obviously seeing it in a game setting as well. And he can be ready to go, you know, maybe as a redshirt freshman or redshirt sophomore. So I think definitely he is a very good take. And one thing that I really like is the mix between him and Merez. I think they comp, like you asked earlier about Dane as far as the complement. I think him and Merez complement each other perfectly. Now, in today's basketball, you know, it's a little harder to plan out long term than it used to be, where you're like, oh, these guys would play together 3 years from now, be a perfect match. Well, it's a little harder to say that now with transfers and guys leaving early for the draft and all that stuff. But I think their games do complement each other very well, as far as Jason being able to do more, be more of a true five, but more of a perimeter-oriented, skilled guy, where Merez is developing that part of his game, but he can play on the interior and do the toughness stuff, do the rebounding, and he already has the physicality and that to go with what Jason brings from a skill set standpoint.
Looking back and you know who's he reminds you of coming through the state, or maybe even a guy from out of state? Is there a player that you look back on that maybe is a good comp?
I don't know if it's a great comp, but like, what was it? It was Nick, the big guy on the 2005 Final Four team that was super skinny. It was a Nick Smith.
Nick
Was it?
Smith, okay. The tallest
Yeah,
player
maybe.
in basketball history, 7 foot 2, Nick Smith.
He's not quite as tall, but he's very thin. He's got that like perimeter type shot to his game. He's going to be a developmental guy. Could be potentially something like that. I'm
Like
horrible
Tisdale,
with
maybe
comps.
another guy, another in-state guy.
Tisdale, yep, Tisdale. And Mike's a guy that definitely put on weight throughout his career. He came in, I remember watching him in high school, and he was pretty thin. And by the end of Mike's career, he was pretty well built as, you know, a fourth year guy as a senior.
Outside of the Illinois players that they're going to be signing tomorrow, I think all three are going to sign on the first day. I'm pretty sure they are. But outside of that, who are some other kids in the state of Illinois that are going to be signing their national letters of intent tomorrow? Some guys that you're excited about?
Yeah, you know, it's the year of the big man, especially at the top, like the at the top of the board, we have Merez at one, Jason at four. In between them, you're gonna have Cooper Koch, or Cooper Coach, from Peoria Notre Dame, or now Metamora. Sorry, used to be Peoria Notre Dame, now Metamora. You know, skilled, you know, four that can really shoot the basketball, one of the best perimeter shooting guys in the country. In that class, really lit it up for Indiana Elite over the summer. He's going to Iowa. His dad, JR, played there. So that also was another one that got done pretty early in the process. Lathan Somerville, who goes to Peoria Richwoods, he was originally in Peoria at Notre Dame with Cooper, actually, and then went out of state to play at the Skills Factory in Georgia the last 2 years. Moved back to Illinois for his senior year. He is a grown man. He is enormous, and he will throw guys like ragdolls. And he's the definition of like college body wise, like Big Ten dude. That's what you look like. And the skill sets come along for him. I like what he's got a chance to bring. Northwestern picked up the number five player in the state, Angelo Sierravino. He's going to be a really good get for them. Mount Carmel, product that really elevated his stock over the summer. You know, he was always on our radar. He was always a kid that was like a top 10, 12 player, but he took it to another level this spring and summer with the athleticism, the size. He's up to like 6'7", 6'8". He can shoot the ball from three at a high level. But he's also really improved his athleticism and being able to make plays at the rim and off the bounce. And then the other two high majors that I can think of off the top of my head that are signing tomorrow are Chris Riddle, who's going to DePaul from Kenwood, and Jaden Smith, who's also from Kenwood, who's going to Arizona State. Riddle's more of a like a power wing that brings a lot of physicality, defense, toughness, transition scoring. And Jaden Smith is a guy that is another upside play, I think, for Arizona State. You know, they have the connection there with Nick Irvin to you know, Mike Irvin, Mac Irvin fire program. And Jaden's a guy that he's starting to turn the corner. I think we saw some of that at the end of June, and we saw it at the beginning of July. Could be primed for a big senior year. But he has the size and he has all the tools. So those are going to be I believe, the seven guys that will sign as high major recruits tomorrow. And then I
Didn't have to
think
find
total we have 20 kids that will be signing tomorrow at the Division I level. There's a couple kids that are Ivy League players, so it's a little bit different. They might not sign, but they're technically committed.
it seems like Jaden had to fight through a few injuries that set his recruiting back a little bit.
Yeah. And as you know, it's like bigs always take a little bit longer to develop. And I think he's primed for a big year. Obviously, Kenwood's going to be one of the best teams in the state.
The transfer portal applies to high school basketball now. Unfortunately, these days, a lot of kids come and go, and prep schools are picking up a lot of kids. And one kid, obviously, on the Illinois radar, and really one of their top kids is Jeremiah Fears, transferred, to the big time prep school. Is there any intel on that that you can share with us?
It's funny you asked me that because when I was coming on this today, I thought you might ask me. I texted him earlier. I haven't heard back yet. But, you know, I know at one time the plan was to make a decision in January. I'm not sure if now that he's out at AZ Compass, if that's still the plan. But he has taken quite a few visits. I know he's been to Illinois, he's been to Tennessee, Michigan State's involved, Michigan's very involved. But yeah, Illinois is definitely still in the mix. They're making him a heavy priority. He had to, you know, reschedule that first visit because he got invited to the Nike thing in New York. But you know, he made that second trip, and when I talked to him about it, he said he had a great time. Yeah, I mean, I think he's the key guy for the 2025 class. And you know, if he would be in state, he would obviously be the number one player in the state of Illinois. But from everything I've heard, he's doing very well out at AZ Compass as far as transitioning to prep basketball and playing, you know, consistently a higher level of competition than he would have here in Illinois. But I think you know, still more to come there.
Yeah, my read on that has been, from an Illinois perspective, is if he does choose to reclassify to the class of 2024, I think that puts Illinois a little bit better position. And if he stays in 25, it seems like some of the, blue blood schools like Kentucky and Kansas and Arizona would make him a little bit of a higher priority. Is that a fair read on it, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've not just for the record, I've personally not talked to him about the reclassification to 24. We just kind of talked about schools and timeline and that kind of stuff. But I think that your assessment is fair that Illinois would be in a better position to take him as a point guard immediately than maybe another school would. And as you've seen in the past with guys like, Tyler Ulis, and you know, you can go down the list with guys who have played really well during the spring and the summer in the EYBL, and their recruitment blows up to where blue bloods get involved. And then, you know, sometimes Illinois still wins out, and then other times those schools get the recruit. But I would say the sooner you can lock it up, the better.
Yeah, and the holiday seasons are approaching, Scott. And for those of us who are basketball junkies and just crazy about basketball, like you and me, and it's a great time for high school basketball. And there's two events that we're going to be covering, and I know you're going to be covering too, that I'm really excited about. Back in the day, you used to have to go to the KMOX shootout in St. Louis or one of these other national events to see some of the top talent in the state. But over the last 20, 25 years, these high school events have really blown up. And there's two great ones coming up. Chicago Elite Classic, an annual event with some great teams in Chicago. And then the Highland Shootout just announced, I think yesterday or today, their lineup, great lineup again at Highland. Tell me about those two events, what you're looking forward to about those two basketball tournaments.
Yeah, anybody who knows me knows I'm Mr. Shootout. I love watching from the beginning of the day. I would much rather watch 10 games in a day than one game a day for 10 days in a row. So I love shootouts. And like you mentioned, the Camo X shootout, my dad used to take me to it as a kid. And I would skip the, what was it, the second Thursday every December from, I don't know, like my sixth or seventh grade year through high school, and got out of it every year. Nobody ever said anything.
I'll
But
share something with you on that. On that note, I was in the military at the time, and I would actually take leave every year
oh.
for the Camo X shootout in St. Louis. It was a must see event in downtown St. Louis at what is now a different arena, but it was the old, what was the name of that place? The
Kiel Center.
Kiel Center, yeah, in downtown St. Louis, an annual
Yep.
event that, and I saw my two favorite players I saw there, Alonzo Mourning and Kenny Anderson. And today, I swear to God, those are two of the best high school players that I've ever seen, even now after seeing EYBL League and all the things that we see now. Those two guys just still jump out at me as great high school players. But I digress. Getting back to Chicago
So
Elite Classic. And
yeah, so it's funny you mentioned the Camo X shootout. Actually, the originator of that event, Sean Powell, actually now runs the Washington TOC, which a lot of people don't know. And that's another huge national event that's coming up in a couple of weeks in Thanksgiving. Chicago Elite Classic, though, one of the best events in Illinois every year. This year, they're going to have 13 boys games. They're going to have four on Friday, starting with I think Simeon plays at 4:30, and then on Saturday it's a marathon from 9 a.m. until, it should get over technically at 10:30, but I would guess more toward midnight-ish. But it's always a fun event to get to see a ton of basketball in a short amount of time. I make a special trip to Chicago every year for that event. The next day, Ridgewood H High School has a shootout. That's a three-game deal. That's always really good. And then the following weekend, the Team Rose shootout is always a pretty high-level event as well. So, in the span of, like, if you're in Chicago, in the span of, what, 8 days, you get to see 24 basketball games with some of the best teams in the state. That's amazing. And Chicago Elite Classic has national teams coming in as well, teams from DC and Georgia and all that stuff. So it's one of those events that I love going to. UIC is a great venue for it. And Highland Shootout, probably my favorite event. Another one that I actually went to when I was in high school, and I remember going and watching Brandon Wright and Thaddeus Young play there, who were both one and done top four players. They were the two players behind Kevin Durant and Greg Oden in their classes, and there really wasn't anybody there, and I never really got it. And over the last decade, I've helped Matt Powers, who's the director of the Highland Shootout, select the teams for the event. And it's something I love doing because it's an event that has, become a absolute must attend event for fans in St. Louis, in Southern Illinois, and even beyond that. It's one of the best high school environments that I can remember. I mean, I've had national analysts who have come to the event that, attend the prep school type events, and they're like, those are great, but it doesn't have the atmosphere that the Highland Shootout does. And it's one of those things that I love, because I get to bring my friends to it, and they get to see these players that I see year round. So yeah, we just announced the lineup today. So it's going to start off with, from a boys perspective, it's going to start off at 10:30, Highland and Breeze Central. Couple small college recruits that in that game, Mason Schubert for Breeze Central, one of the better small college guards in the area. 12 o'clock, you're going to have Quincy versus Cardinal Ritter. Quincy is a team that Central Illinois fans need to be watching for this year. They have a really stacked junior class led by Bradley Loncor. He's a top 10 player in the state. He led the night or the Under Armour 16U in assists this past summer. He can really shoot the basketball. He's injured right now, so kind of a wait and see when he's going to come back, but they're still stacked beyond him. Cardinal Ritter is another team that they're going to face in that game. They won a state championship last year. a lot of really good low major talent that just they play tough and play really well together. Peoria at 1:30, you're gonna have Peoria Richwoods versus Vachon. Peoria Richwoods, talked about Lathan Somerville earlier moving back. They have two other really good guards, one of the best teams in Central Illinois. Vachon, they're gonna play Vachon. Great matchup between Lathan Somerville and Nick Randall. Nick Randall is one of the top big men in the state of Missouri. And then they have a stacked junior class. They have four of the top 15 juniors in the class. At 3 o'clock, you're going to have Whitney Young, the traditional powerhouse from the state of Illinois. They're going to be young this year. Merez or A Antonio Munoz, who has been on Illinois' campus multiple times. He is a high-flying, athletic forward that can really play above the rim. He's kind of their veteran, even though he's only a junior. And then their sophomore class is really deep, headlined by Marquise Clark, smooth, ultra smooth guard, top five player in the class. And then they have one of the best freshmen in the state in Howard Williams. So Whitney Young at 3:30 is going to play Viani. Viani has two of the top five sophomores in the state of Missouri that are both getting mid-major and high-major interests. At 4:30, you're going to have Chaminade, my boy Jason Tatum's and Brad Beal's school. Always one of the best programs out there. And they're going to play Great Crossing out of Kentucky, the only non-Illinois or Missouri team in the event. And they have the number one junior in the state of Kentucky who has multiple high-major offers already. And then the last two games are absolutely stellar. 6:15, you're talking Kenwood versus Normal Community, two teams that are going to be in contention for state championships. Kenwood, I talked about those high major recruits earlier. They also have two of the best young guards in the state. Rajon Roberts, a top three player in the sophomore class. Devin Cleveland, a top, could be number one overall, top five at worst, in the freshman class. He's a stud. And then Normal Community has four of the top 32 seniors in the state, led by Jaheim Weber, along with wings Braylon Edward or Braylon Roman and Nico Newsom, and then Noah Cleveland as well. And then the finale is going to be number one versus number two. We're going to have the top player in the state, Merez Johnson and Thornton, play against number two ranked Cooper Koch and Metamora. So that'll be a fun Chicago versus Central Illinois battle. Obviously, Metamora defending 3A state champs. They lost some stuff from last year, but they reloaded with Cooper. They are going to be one of the best teams in the state this year. Matthew Zobrist, Tyler Swanson, or Tyler Mason, they have like just an outstanding team. And Thornton brought in all the transfers. They went from, an afterthought to a legit state title contender with Merez, Isaiah Green, Chase Abraham, and there's one more I'm forgetting. One more I'm forgetting. Anyway, they are stacked and they are primed for a run at a state championship. But yeah, that's the lineup for Highland. We just released it this afternoon, and super pumped. Tickets will be going on sale soon. And as Doug knows, that thing will sell out, and it will sell out within a week in December. So if you don't get your tickets online, you're not going to be able to get in the door.
Gonna mention that if you don't to fans, if you want to get tickets for that, get them soon because that place I've never seen a high school gym packed with high school basketball fans like that event. It's just a fantastic event, and like you, it's one of my favorite ones to go to. And we go to a lot of AAU events and high school events, and that's still definitely one of the favorites. The gym just has a great feel to it, besides the games that you get to see. But there you have it. That's why we have Scott Burgess on. Scott, you blow me away with your in-depth knowledge on high school basketball. I don't know how you keep it all straight and remember all the names and all the kids. And but you do a wonderful job. And we're gonna wrap it up. But before we do, just, can you let the Illinois fans know how they can subscribe to Prep Hoops if you're really interested in in-depth high school basketball coverage, really all over the country? It's not just state of Illinois. They have the in-state rankings, and they cover all of the events. And Scott, tell them how they can subscribe.
Yeah, so our specific site at the Illinois site is prephoops.com/Illinois, and with one subscription, you get the entire country. So we have, I think it's a little bit over 40 states. It's somewhere between 40 and 44 states represented, where you get in-depth coverage of the state, like you guys cover the country. So, like for me, covering the 15th ranked player in Illinois or the 150th ranked player in a class is like you guys at Rivals covering the 150th ranked player in the country. So we do in-depth coverage of players all across the country. And like I said, you subscribe, you get access to every site in the network, not just one site. So it's prephoops.com/Illinois. And you can sign up there. And also, you can follow me on Twitter at Scotty B Scout, Scotty B as in boy, Scout.
Oh, you on X, right?
Yeah, I'm not calling it X just for the record. I would
Site
never call it X.
Twitter. Thanks again, Scott. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate your analysis. And if I don't see you before, I'll see you in Highland like I do every year, sitting right next to you, behind the basket. But
For sure.
great again to have you. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks, bud.